Anyone in the Sri Satisai organization will know that Bhagwan has put in place a simple 9-point code of conduct, a simple guide for all the devotees to follow and refer to, a helping hand that he has so graciously extended in order to help us achieve greater heights in the spiritual sadhana we embark upon. Of the 9, the very first point is daily meditation and prayers. Well, prayers we all do, right? Some people, they have bhajans at home. Some of them attend the samiti bhajans. Some of them do bhajans only when they come to prashanti. But what about meditation? When it comes to meditation, some of us do, some of us try to do, and some of us struggle to do. Well, I still struggle. But the question is, why did Swami place meditation, that too, daily meditation, as the first, in fact, in the 9-point code of conduct for all the Sai devotees to follow? Now that is something to ponder upon. So let me start off this segment by reading to you an excerpt from Swami's Dhyanavahini. So here I think I must mention that it is not just that Swami has put a meditation as the first in the 9-point code of conduct, but in fact, to stress upon the importance of meditation, Swami has written a treatise on meditation called Dhyanavahini. Probably it is appropriate to mention also that all of Swami's writings, which published writing in fact, that is the Dhyanavahini and all the other Vahinis, and all of Swami's discourses are available for free for you to refer to at www.sssbpt.info. I repeat, www.sssbpt.info. I think I have mentioned it also in the previous Love to Love, but I think it is worth mentioning that anybody, if you want to refer to any of Swami's written books or discourses, it is available for you free in PDF format for you to refer to at your convenience. Well, coming back to talking about meditation. So here is what Swami explains, why meditation is so important. This is an excerpt from Dhyanavahini. Here is what Swami says, and I quote, "There are two types of people. One set on accusing themselves as sinners, and the other flattering themselves as great. Now both types are afflicted by their own mental aberrations. What they both need is mental satisfaction. And this can be obtained by meditation. Wisdom grows once we improve upon our understanding, and this happens through meditation. Therefore, you should develop an interest in meditation. That is to say, you must acquire a yearning for this practice that is one-pointed and does not tolerate any obstacle. Yearning must have the strength to inspire endeavor. In fact, yearning is but dormant endeavor. Endeavor is yearning in action. When yearning is weak, endeavor declines. When one is strong, one's attempt is also potent." Very insightful words from our Divine Father. So dear listeners, as we let Swami's words sink in, let's also listen to some beautiful music.
Masai, my precious Sai.
Masai, my precious Sai.
Masai, oh Satya Sai.
Masai, my precious Sai. Thread of love ever break.
May this thread of love never break.
May we always be with you, Satya Sai. Dearest
tomorrow you will be brave. Fool, dive today from the cliff of what you know into what you can't know. You fear the rocks, better men than you have died on them. Dying on love's rocks is nobler than a life of death. For between the door of birth and death stands yet another door, wholly inexplicable. And he who is able to be born at the door of death is devoted eternally. Die before dying, die living.
Wisdom tells me I am nothing. Love tells me I'm everything. Between the two,
bird soars too high if he soars with his own wings. And in one sense, we are always traveling. And traveling as if we did not know where we were going. In another sense, we have already arrived.
Wisdom tells me I am nothing. Love tells me I'm everything. Between the two,
every leaf in the book of fate has two pages. One is written by man, the other by destiny. And if you wish to hold the moon in your hands, clip the noose round your neck and worship love.
Wisdom tells me I am nothing. Love tells me I'm everything. Between the two,
a pilgrimage where man drags his feet along a rough and thorny road. Each life is like a day's march forward, to pitch the tent nearer to the goal when darkness falls. Don't waste a single moment.
Wisdom tells me
alone, the one without a second, on which are strung heaven and earth, inner space, mind, vital energy, all the organs, leave off other words, but this is the bridge to immortality.
Wisdom tells me I am nothing. Love tells me I'm everything. Between the two,
welcome back, dear listeners. So today we are exploring the realms of meditation. Now we can't possibly cover all of meditation in just 2 hours, but we can attempt to graze the surface and at least understand its importance and some of Swami's key messages on why we should continuously practice this. So in many conversations that Swami has graced his devotees with, the question of meditation has always popped up. And Swami invariably is pleased to answer all of his children's spiritual doubts. In one such a conversation, a devotee asks, "Bhagwan, what is meditation?" And Swami lovingly explains. Swami says, "Real meditation is getting absorbed in God as the only thought, the only goal. Think God, breathe God, love God." Now the devotee continues to inquire, "Swami, then what is concentration? Is concentration and meditation the same?" Swami then explains, "It is incorrect to equate concentration with meditation. Concentration being a mental process that involves seeing through the senses. It may be regarded as being below or within the realm of the senses, while meditation is beyond the realm of the senses. If meditation were as easy as concentration, the great rishis of yore would not have practiced rigorous austerities and subjected themselves to innumerable difficulties. Concentration means when all senses fall away and there is only God. The concentration of Ramakrishna Paramahamsa was naturally so strong that he grew a tail while meditating on Hanuman. His body was just a changing bubble. His concentration was so strong. Special work on concentration need not be a part of meditation. Concentration is already in force whenever mind, intelligence and senses is used. Without it, you could not even walk. It needs no special practice. It is below the senses, while meditation is above the senses. In between concentration and meditation, like a separation between the two, is contemplation. Concentration to contemplation and then meditation. As long as one thinks, I am meditating, that is the mind and it is not meditation. As long as one knows he is meditating, he is not meditating. In that absorption in God, one puts aside every form and merges into God. In that process, the mind naturally stops. So that was Swami on what is true meditation. So with that, dear listeners, here is some more lovely music, and we will be back with more on meditation as told by our beloved Bhagwan himself. So stay tuned.
Show me the way. There is someone above to love me. There is someone above to care. And it's love, love all the way. It's sunshine on a rainy day. No cloud can hide our happiness. With everlasting joy you bless. Someone above to forgive me. There is someone above to hold my hand. There is someone above to help me. There is someone above for me. And it's love, love all the way. It's sunshine on a rainy day. No cloud can hide our happiness. With everlasting joy you bless. There's a Lord side to guide us. There is Satya side to show us the way. There is Swami to love us. There is someone above to care. There is someone above to care. There is someone above to care.
Dear listeners, so from Swami's loving guidance, we can understand that concentration is necessary as a start to meditation. I quoted Swami talking about how meditation is different from concentration and contemplation. But now the question is there a reason why we should meditate? Well, Swami explains again in a discourse given in 1965. Swami says, never forget that you are divine. that you are righteousness personified. Your duty or dharma is to cultivate your faculties for the great adventure of realizing your oneness with the divine. To accomplish that, your mind and intelligence must be fixed on your chosen Lord. You must meditate on Him in solitude and silence. Cultivate concentration. If your attention is distracted, no progress can be made. However, if you practice meditation in silence and solitude, you will be able to establish and retain that silence even in the busiest of places. Talk less, deliberately think more and practice discrimination. Then you can empty the mind of impulses, prejudices and preferences. In this manner, you must strive to realize your true nature. Well, we may ask Swami at this juncture, why should we meditate? Of course, our loving mother has the answer we require. Swami says, meditation is constant inner inquiry as to who am I? What is true? What is ego action? What is loving and what is harsh? Meditation is thinking on spiritual principles, searching out the application to oneself of what Swami says and what Swami likes. So with that, dear listeners, let's now take a short musical break. After that, we will be back with more reflections on meditation. For now, here is Love All, Serve All and My Sweet Lord.
Most great peace the earth has ever known is here. Just to look in your eyes, my sweet Lord, my sweet Lord. Oh, Swami, I love you. 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 My sweet Lord, my sweet Lord. Oh, Swami, I love you. 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 My sweet Lord, my sweet Lord. You're everything I see. You're all there is. You're everything I see. You're all there is. My sweet Lord, my sweet Lord. You're everything I see. You're all there is. You're everything I see. You're all there is. My sweet Lord, my sweet Lord. Oh, I love you, 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 Lord. My sweet Lord, my sweet Lord. How I love you, 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 Lord. My sweet Lord, my sweet Lord. Just to see you walk, just to look in your eyes, just to see you walk, just to look in your eyes. My sweet Lord, my sweet Lord. Just to see you walk, just to look in your eyes, just to see you walk, just to look in your eyes. My sweet Lord, my sweet Lord. Oh, my sweet Lord. Oh, my sweet Lord. Oh, my sweet Lord. Oh, my sweet Lord. My sweet Lord, my sweet Lord. Oh, my sweet Lord. Oh, my sweet Lord. Oh, my sweet Lord. Oh, my sweet Lord. My sweet Lord, my sweet Lord. Oh, my sweet Lord, my sweet Lord. Oh, my sweet Lord, my sweet Lord, my sweet Lord, my sweet Lord.
Welcome back, dear listeners. Well, for now, we are clear on what is meditation and why we should meditate. We have heard Swami speak on both these. But our questions are, of course, far from over, right? At this juncture, we could ask many questions like, where should we meditate? At what time? Under what circumstances? Or under what conditions? And finally, the most importantly, out of many different meditative techniques that are available in the world, which is the right meditation for me? Well, from various discourses and conversations with devotees, Swami has always said meditation twice a day is the best practice. Once early in the morning and once in the evening, each for half an hour. And the easiest and simplest practice of meditation Swami has taught us over all times is the Jyoti meditation. Well, here Swami so lovingly explains the process during an interview with a group of Western devotees. So here is what Swami has to say on Jyoti meditation. Swami says, light a lamp or a candle. Gaze straight ahead at the flame. Then take the candle flame, the Jyoti, into your heart and see it in the midst of the petals of the heart. Watch the petals of the heart unfold and see the light illumine the heart. Bad feelings cannot remain. Then move the flame to the hands and they can no longer do dark deeds. Now move the flame into your eyes and ears so that they may henceforth take in only bright and pure sensations. Then move the light outward into your friends, relatives and enemies, and then into animals, birds and other objects so that all are illumined by the same light. First, you are in the light. Then the light is in you. And finally, you are the light and the light is everywhere. So enjoy it for a while, then bring the light back into your heart and hold it there for all day long. The form of God may also be included, like Rama, Krishna, Jesus, Sai, as you wish. The form of God selected may be seen in the center of the flame, wherever it is carried, and then you are with God everywhere. Now, Jyoti meditation, as we just saw, is the simplest form of meditation that Swami has so lovingly given us. Now, if you are having trouble remembering what I just read, you could go to YouTube and search for Jyoti meditation. There are two or three versions of Jyoti meditations with video available as narrated by Bhagwan. Of course, it had to be uploaded by some devotee. But it is amazing. I have, in fact, personally downloaded two or three of them and I found very helpful for my personal sadhana, and I am 100% sure that you too will find it helpful. So let's all make it a point to practice this simple meditation that Swami has given us at least once a day. If possible, of course, twice a day. So with that, dear listeners, I take your leave for now for a short while. Let's take a musical break. Here is the song, I Keep Feeling Your Love, followed by Let's Celebrate.
I keep feeling your love every day, over and over again. I keep feeling your love every day, over and over again. It's sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my side and I. I keep feeling your love in me over and over again. I keep feeling over and over again.
Celebrate, 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 celeb
Welcome back, dear listeners. So the next question that arises is when we embark on this journey of meditation is, do we need to sit up straight? Or are there any certain postures we need to maintain? Well, as usual, our dear Swami always has the answer ever ready for us. He says, the body is described as a temple containing the Lord. If one particular part of a body keeps on shaking, the contents, the mind will also be shaking. That is why in meditation certain postures are described and they must be maintained. When in meditation, take the mind deep so that it is not distracted. The deeper the mind is taken, the less it is disturbed by the surrounding noise. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that concentration precedes wisdom. If in sitting for meditation, you keep on scratching your head or your back, you will not be doing the right kind of meditation. Some people sit for meditation, they simply sit, but then they are wondering how soon they can move from that particular pose. To sit straight is very important. Between the 9th and 12th vertebrae is the life force. If the spine is injured at this point, paralysis occurs. If the body is in a straight position, as if it were tied around a straight pole, the life force may rise up through the straight body and give the quality of intense concentration to the mind. Moreover, just as a lightning rod attached to the roof of a building attracts lightning, in similar fashion, a perfectly straight body provides a conductor, so to speak, for divine power to enter the temple of your body and give you the strength to accomplish your task and reach your goal. As another example, the divine power is always here, just as radio signals are always there. But to hear the radio music, there must be an antenna. Further, if the tuning device is not properly adjusted, there will be some noise but not music. In similar fashion, the divine power, which is always present, may flow into you if the meditation is correct and body is straight. So, from what Swami just said, what we take home is that however we sit, you know, some people may not be able to sit on the floor, like which is the most traditional kind of meditation posture when we sit on the floor cross-legged, the lotus posture, but not everybody can do that. For such people, sitting on the chair is perfectly fine. But Swami says, the most important thing is to make sure that the back is straight and the spine is erect. From what I have heard is that if you're sitting on a chair, your feet should be flat on the floor and do not sit cross-legged. And keeping your feet flat on the floor is believed to really enhance the energy circulation in your body. So with that simple tip on meditation, let's now take another musical break and we'll be back shortly with more reflections on meditation. So dear listeners, stay tuned.
Guiding hand who's always near. guiding hand, the shoulder to lean on. I thank you with all of my heart.
For now I see the beauty of this place.
Oh,
Welcome back, dear listeners. You're tuned into Love to Love today with me, Chandu Vijay. And today, we are talking about meditation and gathering as much wisdom and insight as we can from none other than the Creator and the Master Himself, our beloved Mother Sai. So over the past hour or so, Swami has explained what meditation is, what type of meditation is necessary, and what sort of conditions we should meditate under. Now, some of us may have more questions for Swami. For example, what should I be expecting from meditation? Of course, Swami has the answer, and Swami continues to explain as follows. Swami says, when in meditation, concentrate on the form chosen by you. Then pass into contemplation and then into meditation. Only by the three states will you get there. From concentration, one must cross the field of contemplation to enter meditation. There are three things: the meditator, the chosen form, and the process of meditation. The three should merge and become one, and this is the state of meditation. But if all the time you feel you are meditating, now this cannot be called as meditation. When there is complete attention on the form chosen, that will lead to meditation. The attention of the mind is totally removed from the body and totally concentrated on the form chosen as the object of your meditation. Well, simpler explanations to something that many find rather difficult to do. Another question that many of us may want to ask Swami is, Swami, then what about the other types of meditation? Are those okay? Can we follow any of the path of meditation that is prescribed by different yogis? Of course, Swami continues to explain. Swami says, the goal remains the same. There is just some change in the pathway or the method employed. Meditation on light is real meditation. Light is formless, eternal and divine. It is the safe way and the sure way. But above all is love. Love is the royal highway to God. God is love. At the beginning, we should carefully consider and investigate the meditation or sadhana that we propose to adopt. Who is the guru? What is the result? If then we have full confidence that it will take us to our spiritual goal, then go ahead and stay with it. But it is a spiritual goal that we aim for, not a physical goal, not a goal at the sensory level. So that is Swami's explanation. Just to sum it up, what Swami is saying here is that it doesn't matter what meditation you follow. Make sure you have that confidence that this path will take me to my goal, which is, of course, a spiritual goal. The reason for that is every path of meditation are just like different roads, all leading to the same goal. Well, when we walk on different paths, some path may be hard to tread on and some may be easy. Some is like a royal highway, some are like village roads. So it is up to you to choose according to your convictions and stick to it. But Swami says that meditation on light is the easiest and safest way. So with that, dear listeners, let's take another short musical break and we will be back with more reflections. For now, stay tuned.
I'm not afraid to die.
Welcome back, dear listeners, and it is almost time for me to conclude. But before I conclude, let me read another excerpt from Swami's Dhyanavahini in which he is talking about the kind of expectations that people have when they embark upon their spiritual journey and what kind of expectations they really should have. Well, Swami says, repetition of God's name and meditation should never be measured by mere external standards. They are to be judged by their inner effects. If one sways between impatience and sloth and always worries, why has it not come yet? Why is it still far away? Then it all boils down to repeating the name simply and doing meditation with an eye always on the fruit thereof. The single fruit of repetition of divine names and doing meditation is the conversion of our focus from outward to inward. That is seeing the reality of atmic bliss. For this transformation, one has to be always active and hopeful, regardless of the time taken and the difficulties encountered. One should not count the cost, the time, or the trouble, and await the descent of the Lord's grace. This patient wait is itself part of the tapas, or the austerity. Sticking unfalteringly to the vow is the austerity. So with that, dear listeners, this is Chandu Vijay signing off with a song and a prayer that may all the beings in all the worlds be happy, happy and happy.
You could travel the seven seas, from the valleys to mountains so high, but you'll never find a better love than this, for this love will never die. While the moon and the stars still shine, and the sun lights up the sky, that's how long this love will go on and on and on. For this love will never die. This love will never die. Could spend your life looking out, but the answers are all within, and the heart and the soul of the matter is love, and from love we all begin. This love that I'm talking about, you could travel the seven seas till the waters have all run.
Narayana, Hari Narayana, heard enough.